Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
That understanding works for you, so therefore it is absolutely right for you.
All beliefs have become only relatively true, and of course to the world, religion is just some personalized experience, not a divine revelation, and the church is catching the disease.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hello, this is Wretched Radio. We are going to have ourselves a Witness Wednesday here at Georgia Tech. Love coming here. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. All righty, here we are at Georgia Tech. Oh, can you hear the birds singing? Do you hear the birds singing? It just doesn't get any better than that. Hey, okay, this is too great. I just walked up to our little Areopagus, the kind of the center of the campus here. And I have a feeling, do you remember last week? I talked to about 10 kids at the same time that are all sitting on the steps. Several of them were Lutheran. And you know what? I think they're all sitting on the steps again. I kind of recognized a couple of them. And you know what this reminds me of? Did you also happen to hear last week when I was here at the campus? And it turned out to be three. It started with one and then two more came walking up. I was just doing what I'm doing right now, talking into this microphone, and a guy came up and said, "Hey, what are you doing?" Radio, want to talk to me? And was then able to witness to three kids who walked up just to see what was going on. And when we talked, the reason that they said that they approached me is because they had seen me the week before doing this. And now they're curious. And maybe now, after a little bit of familiarity, seeing me now twice, they walked up to me and asked me what I was doing. Now, they didn't know, but that wasn't my point exactly. My point is, Pastor, if you will stay in one church for a longer amount of time, I'm telling you, something happens in your town. Something happens in the evangelical community. People will start trusting you with things. They will start approaching you more. You will have more opportunities. It's just being seen in town a lot. Go into those same places year after year. It allows people to approach you, to trust you. There is a huge trend these days for evangelical pastors to just bop and shop to get to the next big place. And I understand. I know you want to have as much impact as possible. Okay, got it. But it seems to me that there's a lot of moving around and shopping around because of maybe an immediate discontent with your particular location, more exclusively the desire to just be big, without weighing the consequences of you moving, of you not establishing some roots so that people will start to trust you more. I'm telling you, stick around. There's fruits of this. This, not just my little anecdote here with the two guys at Georgia Tech. I remember this, being in Minneapolis, doing the same show for, I don't know how many years it was. Opportunities came up in year 5 and 6 that didn't happen in year 1 because of roots and familiarity. So don't discount that, Pastor, if you're moving all over the place. All right, now there's a guy who's sitting on the steps who's smoking a cigarette. And I'll be honest with you, I think he's a new smoker. You know how when you watch a movie and you see somebody smoke, it's like, hey, they're not really a smoker because they don't have that natural thing going on. I think this might be one of those guys. Hey, dude, I want to ask you a question on the radio if you don't mind. All right? I'm not a mind reader, but I'm going to make a prediction about something. All right? How long have you been smoking? I don't think it's for very long. Has it been within the last month that you started smoking?
Absolutely not. It's been about 2 or 3 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, then I'm completely wrong. You just, the way that you hold it, you look like you're a new smoker.
Really?
Yeah, a little bit, but it's been 2 years, huh?
Mm-hmm.
How old are you?
I'm 19.
So started at 17. Isn't it illegal when you're 17?
It's actually not. It's illegal to buy them, not illegal to smoke them.
Did you ever buy them?
No. Actually,
really?
I had friends that were 18, so.
So you had them buy them for you?
Yeah.
So that's legal then?
Technically, yeah.
Why do you smoke?
I honestly just enjoy it.
What do you enjoy about it?
It's just calming, generally.
Really? I thought it gave you a buzz.
Not so much anymore. Just the act of smoking is enjoyable to me.
Do you think you could quit right now?
Yeah.
And never smoke again?
Yeah.
It doesn't have a grip on you?
I don't think so.
Yeah? You're sure?
Yeah.
So why don't you?
I enjoy it.
Okay, now you've read the side of the carton, I presume, right?
Right.
Yeah, and you've maybe seen the commercials. Do you know who Yul Brynner is?
No, I don't.
Yul Brynner was an actor. Oh, did you ever watch The Ten Commandments with remember The Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston? You know, the big one where he's opening up the sea and that big deal? Made in the 50s,
yeah.
I think? The Pharaoh, the bald guy, was Yul Brynner.
Okay.
And you had that really deep voice,
yeah.
Right? He smoked and he died. And he made the creepiest commercial of all time, where he went on TV, he filmed it before he died, and he was like, don't smoke. I'm dead now. Don't smoke. It was very weird. Okay, but you've heard people say smoking is going to kill you.
Right.
All right?
It is.
So why don't you stop?
I don't feel it's necessary to live to 100.
You don't want to live to your 100? You're not afraid to die?
No.
Stop it. I don't believe it. What do you think is going to happen to you when you die?
Can't actually say.
All right, let's do a test. Speaking of the Ten Commandments, we'll do a Ten Commandment test. Let's see what's going to happen to you when you die as you take another hit on your camel. At least they're not camel straights. You ever smoke a cigarette without a filter?
Yeah. I bought buglers before.
What?
I bought buglers before.
I don't know what that is.
They're rolled cigarettes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yikes. That's just, you might as well just light a fire in your mouth, pretty much, right?
I guess.
Light your nose hair on fire and just suck it in, correct? All right. Ten Commandment test to see where you're going when you die. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever stolen anything?
Yeah.
Like cigarettes?
Not cigarettes.
Oh, okay.
I mean, maybe for my friends, but does
okay.
That
if
count?
You had to put a value on all the things you've stolen, what would the tally be? What dollar amount?
I don't know.
All right.
Probably not too much.
Not too much. But you've done it.
Right? Yeah.
How many lies do you think you've told?
I couldn't tell.
But more than a few.
Yeah.
All right.
Definitely.
How many times is? Oh, I'll lower my voice on this one. How many times, maybe even sitting here, have you looked at a girl and had a sexual thought about her?
I guess it happens daily.
Okay.
Who can say it doesn't?
Yeah, I don't disagree. Okay, but that lustful thoughts?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And maybe other things that go with that, we'll just leave that aside right now. Because there would be things like fornication or looking at pornography.
Right.
We'll just leave that between you and God. Okay. All right, so have you ever taken God's name in vain?
Yes.
All righty. So, dude, you're 19. Let's say that you go to the doctor because he can't get rid of that cough. He finds a big black spot on your lung. You're going down. You die. God judges you. Innocent or guilty?
Pretty guilty.
Pretty guilty. All righty. Heaven or hell? What do you think he'll do with you?
Hell.
Huh. You sure you're not afraid to die?
Perspective that God exists, yes.
Yeah, okay, well, if God exists and he judged you, you'd be going to hell? And that doesn't even cause you to blink?
No.
Dude, come on. Do you know anything about hell?
Yeah.
What?
I was actually born and raised in the church.
Yeah, which one?
A Baptist church near my house.
Yeah? Southern Baptist?
Yeah.
Yeah? So what did they tell you about hell?
Lake of Fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Smoking without the calming effect.
Right.
Right. Lake of Fire, weeping and gnashing of teeth, meaning lots of pain, terrible,
yeah.
Suffering, thirsty. You ever been really thirsty?
Yeah.
Miserable to be there where your tongue just sticks to the roof of your mouth. Never a drop of water in hell.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't kind of make you go, that isn't a pleasant thought at all.
I mean, it's not a pleasant thought, but I don't really believe that.
Well, that's your right.
Right.
To do that. But if it's true, it doesn't matter what you believe.
Right.
So if it's true, that's where you'd be going. How do you know it's not true? What led you to not be a Southern Baptist? It was the smoking, wasn't it?
Definitely not. Pretty much just the labels that people associate with it. I see a lot of people that label themselves as Christians, and then they go out and steal and lie, not even giving us a second thought.
Hypocrites.
I don't really want to label myself with them.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I think there's a huge amount of hypocrisy.
Right.
I think the reason is there's a huge false conversion rate, is what I think. There's a lot of people who ask Jesus into their heart, but they never humble themselves before God and repent.
Right.
And turn from their sins and put their trust in him. So I think that they're false converts. Is that what you were?
Possibly.
A
I
false
guess so.
Convert? Did you once believe in God?
Yeah.
Did you ever do an altar call? Sign a card?
No.
Raise your hand? Give your life to Jesus when somebody said...
Yeah, I was baptized.
Really?
Twice, actually. When I was born and then...
The do-over.
Maybe in fifth or sixth grade, yeah.
Yeah, when you asked Jesus into your heart.
Right.
Yeah, but he didn't stick around, did he? What do you suppose went wrong there?
I would have to say I started thinking for myself.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Because I think in fifth or sixth grade, you maybe can't understand the issues.
Right.
You know, and you haven't gone through puberty yet. So the whole idea of dying to yourself.
There's a lot of dependence on what people say to you.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, and that's good. I think as an adult, as you start to grow into manhood, you should think about these things for yourself. So as you did, you've decided it's just not for you because of the hypocrites.
And I also decided that there's a lot of things that the preachers would talk about that I really didn't agree with at all.
Like what?
It's hard to name specifics.
Give me one.
I definitely could if I heard a preacher talking now.
Get your hair cut. I don't know. What?
I just recently got my hair cut. It was down to here.
Down to there. See, there it is. And by the way, I've been noticing, too, what is in your tongue exactly?
A tongue ring. You're actually one of the first people.
Oh, it's black.
Most people don't really notice it at all.
Well, it was shiny. Yeah. I don't know. It was kind of catching my attention there. It's kind of reflecting off the sun. So you got the tongue deal. All right, dude, sit tight for just a second.
All right.
I want to share something with you, and maybe you'll have yourself an Oprah Winfrey aha moment. Fair enough?
All right.
I'm going to turn around just for a second.
Okay.
All right. Here's what we'll do. We are at Georgia Tech. It is Witness Wednesday. We'll pick it up with the smoking former Southern Baptist tongue stamp boy on Wretched Radio. Typical radio commercials will have one big shebang, the opening line. Do we have your attention now? This particular commercial has eight. Have we got your attention now? MediShare, affordable biblical health sharing, will save the average family $500 per month. Second, MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate compared to typical health insurance. Double, that's times two if you weren't homeschooled. A massive network of providers to choose from. MediShare is the most trusted name in healthcare sharing. They've been around for 25 years. $4 billion in healthcare bills have been shared. If you call them now, you will save on the joining fee. They're going to erase it. That's another $170. This is a limited time offer, which means make it snappy. Call 1-844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE. Did I mention 844-34-BIBLE to get your MediShare quote in under 2 minutes?
All right, so what's something that you think, but you know you shouldn't say out loud? I'll go ahead and say what I know all of you are thinking, and that's most Bible studies are boring. That's right, it's true, and you know it is. But now there's a solution to that enigma, and it's getting yourself a new Wretched Bible Study. With our new Wretched Bible Studies, you'll find that you can dig into God's Word and not feel guilty for feeling bored. The Wretched Bible Study curriculum is derived from our resources, Drive by Marriage, Drive by Parenting, Drive by Theology, Jesus Unmasked, and Stressed Out. And I know you're thinking, yeah, well, Jimmy, you're biased. Maybe, but don't just take my word for it. Try one of our studies out for yourself by visiting wretched.org/study. That's wretched.org/study. The new Wretched Bible Studies are interesting, relevant, and of course, always biblical. wretched.org/study.
You say Edith in Romania, they say Edith.
Burdened by the hopelessness surrounding her, Edith prayed for a way to bring the gospel to Çocalı. Since she started in 2008, she has discipled more than 100 children in this small village, and countless lives have been changed.
If you have never been to Romania, permit me to draw the picture. Think poor, forsaken, dead town in the middle of nowhere. That is where the Tomorrow Clubs thrive. Kids clubs bringing the gospel to small villages. The kids get saved. The parents get saved. The church gets revitalized. And this is happening all over Eastern Europe, courtesy of the Tomorrow Clubs and you. $30 a month, 30 disciples. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Clubs? TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 385 AD. In Milan, Bishop Ambrose defies the Empress. This event helped to establish the precedent of the Church confronting the state when necessary to protect Christian teaching and oppose injustice and corruption in government. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, one thing is clear. I'll never be working in a carnival, guessing weight, or anything else. This is Wretched Radio. It's Witness Wednesday. I'm at Georgia Tech. It's a beautiful day. Can you hear the birds singing? Having a little chit-chat with a fellow named Steven, who I thought was a new smoker. It turns out he's been puffing him back for the last couple of years. And, dude, you got the tongue thing going on. I got to ask you a question about that. What was the thinking? What made you go, you know what? I need to have this thing shot through my tongue.
I've actually wanted one for a long time.
Yeah, why?
I don't know. It just seemed appealing to me.
To make a statement, perhaps.
I suppose so. I don't really go around saying that I have a tongue ring and everything, though.
Right, I understand. But I think typically when we put on clothes, we're saying something about ourselves. When we grow our hair a certain way, we're saying something.
Right.
So what were you trying to say? Bit of a rebel?
Maybe something along those lines.
Yeah? You don't look like a rebel.
I don't?
No. No,
I guess
don't.
It's good to hear. I don't know.
Well, you know, some people can pull it off and others can't.
Yeah.
I'm not sure you got that streak in you. Maybe you do. But you just don't look like you'd be like a rotten dude. Right? Do you think, though, that you're a wretched dude?
No.
My guess is, Stephen, and this is what I would like to have you think about today, if I can.
All right.
I think that's why most people are false converts. The Bible says that we are sinful by nature, that we're really corrupt. We're really, really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And most likely, you don't think you're so bad, do you?
Not really.
Yeah. See, that's the hinge on which salvation swings. Until somebody recognizes they are really a wretched sinner, the whole idea of Jesus dying on a cross, really, it isn't very exciting. Because to follow that religion means you have to give up certain things that you like.
Right.
And you probably don't want to give those things up because you don't have a compelling reason to do it, do you?
Right.
Do you think that God exists, Stephen?
No, I don't.
Really? What's led you to that?
That's a good question.
Now, all the evidence that God has given you, the trees, look at the beautiful plants right next to us, the birds singing in the background, gave you a huge universe as if to say to you, excuse me, I'm here, I exist, I made all this stuff, and you can tell what my attributes are like. Why do you reject all that?
I guess I can't really say.
All right. Dude, this is so important, because I know that you're young, and most likely you don't think that you're ever going to die at this point, right?
I guess so.
Hence the smoking, right? Right? You're invincible. You're 19 years old. Are you kidding me? Right?
Yeah.
Okay, but this is so important to think about, because if it's true and if the Bible is real, I think the starting place to get the whole thing is really to take a look at ourselves and understand what we're like. You know, I kind of ran you through the Ten Commandments, right?
Right.
You should think about those things today. Think about how many times you've looked with lust or done worse things sexually. How many times you dishonored mom and dad when you were a child. I mean, how many times were you naughty as a kid? More times than you probably lied,
yeah.
Right? Right? You were just a kid, and you just did lots of naughty things. You didn't do what you were told. You maybe gave them a lip. You maybe sassed back to your mom and dad. Right? Think about how many times you've taken God's name in vain. So the God who gave you everything to enjoy, including those cigarettes, instead of praising him, you used his name as a filthy word. Eeks! Imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If I said, used your mother's name like that, you'd be really offended. But you used God's name like that, okay? And all the times that you maybe had a meal or, what is this thing's in here? A drinking what?
Energy drink.
An energy drink. Did you thank God for your energy drink?
No.
Yeah. And the air that you've been breathing? No. So if he exists, start to imagine how angry he might be at you. Because don't you think it's fair, Stephen, if God made you, if he did, and he's given you everything, the clothing that you're wearing, the education that you're getting, the food that you're enjoying, all the fun stuff, all the good stuff, parents, don't you think that that God has rights to you?
No.
Really? He made you?
Yeah.
He keeps you alive, keeps you breathing. He has no rights to you?
Made us with free will.
Well, that's a very true statement, but that doesn't have anything to do with his rights to you.
Mm-hmm.
What you do with him is certainly your call.
Mm-hmm.
But he does have rights to you, right? He's your owner. He's your maker. He's the one who keeps you sitting here right now. Now, if you rebel against him, that's your call. But he still has rights to tell you what to do. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
Right. But you've just been choosing to rebel against him, right?
Yeah.
So imagine what God should do with you. I know you don't believe that it's true, but if he exists, imagine what a righteous, holy, perfect God should do with a rebel like you. Hell makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All right. And it's at that point when you start to think, wow, if I got what I deserved, I really would be in hot water. And then you think about Jesus dying for you, a sinner. You know what that was all about, right?
Yeah.
This legal transaction going on. You've broken God's laws. Jesus took the punishment you deserve to pay your fine. Rose from the dead. God's seal of approval that it was a sacrifice for your sins. That could apply to your sins. But you've got to repent and put your trust in Jesus Christ. Do you know what that means, to repent?
Yeah.
What?
Ask for forgiveness for your sins?
That's a part of it, but it also means turning from your sins. Whatever they are. Doesn't mean you're perfect, but you have a new attitude about your sins. That's right. Where most people fall down. They ask Jesus into their heart, they sign a card, they raise their hand, they say a prayer with mom or dad at their bedside. To ask Jesus into their heart, but they never repent and put their trust in Jesus because they never understand their sinfulness and they never understand what Jesus did to save them, a sinner. That's kind of the formula. Now, I know you don't realize it's true, but all I can ask you to do, Stephen, is just ponder those things, your sins and a God who died for you, a sinner. And it should do something for you.
Hasn't yet.
But have you really dwelt on it and thought about it?
I have.
Really?
As a kid, yeah.
Yeah. So you don't think that you're a wretched sinner, though?
I would be a wretched sinner. By definition, in the Bible.
All right. But you don't believe it, though. You don't agree with the Bible, do you? See, that's it right there. You never understood that, and you don't understand that today. And all I could try to do is convince you, yes, you are. I mean, really, just sitting here, come on, just look around. I don't know how many women there are walking. I mean, how many times have you lusted just sitting here? Really? I mean, if mom knew the thoughts that were going through your head, you'd be embarrassed, wouldn't you?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah. God sees all of that, right? I mean, imagine, you think about a guy who looks into the window of somebody in the neighborhood and you go, what a creep is that, right?
Yeah.
But you're kind of doing that in your brain, or maybe you're doing it looking at a computer screen. Wow. I mean, imagine. That's kind of wretched.
Yeah.
Right? And you should ask the big question that I think a lot of great thinkers think. What is the innate nature of man? Are we basically good or basically bad? You probably think we're basically good.
I think we're basically neutral, more of a continuum. Some people stray toward the right, some people stray toward the left.
Right. Well, and I would even suggest to you, sometimes you do things that are actually kind of nice and kind of good.
Right.
Right. But the only problem with that is they are only things that they don't please God because most of the time we're doing bad. It's sort of like this. If Adolf Hitler gave your mother flowers, I'm guessing she wouldn't be very pleased with the flowers, right?
Yeah.
Because they came from Adolf Hitler. So once in a while, you do something good, you do something nice, but because you're corrupt by nature, it's not pleasing to God.
Right.
So, yeah, we sometimes do some good stuff, but overall, we're criminals. How many people does a murderer need to murder before we call him a murderer?
One.
One time. How many lies have you told?
Countless.
So you're a liar?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. You've stolen things. That would make you a...
thief.
Uh-huh. You've looked with lust. That would make you an adulterer at heart.
Mm-hmm.
Blasphemer.
Mm-hmm.
Idolater. Dishonoring of parents.
Right.
Have you ever murdered anybody?
No.
Have you ever been really angry at somebody unjustly? Driving down the road? Mad at somebody for being a bonehead?
Yeah.
Okay. God examines the intentions of our hearts. And the Bible says when we do that, we're murderers at heart. So you're all of those things. That's your label. Dude, I would just encourage you to just think about it today, would you? Just think about that.
Yeah.
And then you know what to do, right?
Yeah.
What do you need to do to be saved?
Repent.
There you go. And I used another word. Trust.
Yeah.
The Savior, right? All right. All right, so now that I've preached at you, what are you thinking right now? I can't tell by that smirk on your face. I can't tell what's going on because I'm not so good at the mind reading and the smoking thing.
Yeah.
What are you thinking right now?
I don't know.
You wish I'd go away?
Not really, no.
All right. You're hanging in there? You're being a man? You're taking this like a man?
Yeah.
That's cool. All right. What are you thinking, though?
A lot.
Oh, yeah? All right.
A lot about a lot of things.
All right. Yeah? Like?
I mean, not necessarily pertaining to this right now.
No.
But, yeah.
No. No. Nothing that's related to this? Like a big test? Is that what you're thinking about?
Finals.
Yeah. Okay, dude, this is even more important than your finals, I'm telling you. Just think about it, okay?
All right.
All right, dude. Thanks for the chat, okay? And enjoy your cigarette.
Thanks.
All right, goodbye. All right, dude. All righty. We are here at Georgia Tech. Now, this should be a good reminder that I can't make this kid feel guilty. I just can't do it. I gave it my best shot, but I can't do it, and neither can you. So when you go about witnessing, I mean, okay, I'm looking at the clock here. What, I spent like 20 minutes with this kid, and what is he thinking about? His test. I'm running through the commandments, and he's thinking about a physics exam. Okay, I could walk up to the next person, and they could respond completely differently, and I didn't even bring up the law, because the Holy Spirit is working on them. It should remind us, we don't do the converting. God does. All right, pray for Stephen, would you? I bet Mom and Dad are. I'm just guessing. We are at Georgia Tech. It's Witness Wednesday. And this is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I'm Jimmy Hicks. The Sartell St. Stephen School District in Minnesota has reportedly required fourth graders to complete an equity survey about race and gender. And if that's not enough to raise your red flags, students also were not allowed to ask their parents for help and were even told not to repeat any questions to their parents. One student said, quote, "Being asked to hide this from my mom made me very uncomfortable, like I was doing something wrong." But hold on just a second, if you thought I was finished, not quite. The school district paid Equity Alliance Minnesota $80,000 to audit racial inequities, and this survey here is their brainchild. What a magnificent way to use taxpayer dollars. I mean, there is nothing better the government should be spending our money on right now. And more school district wackiness, this one from Arizona, where the Scottsdale Unified School District appears to be backing off a parental consent form they recently sent home that has parents a little bit miffed, and rightfully so. Well, this consent form, which is for student health and wellness screenings, suggested that the school district would ask kids to provide private family information, including gun and ammunition ownership and family income. The form was included among many others, such as photo releases and directory information. A 2016 Arizona law forbids public schools from administering surveys of students without written parental consent, and I'd venture to say that the law was passed to prevent foolishness just like this. In response, the school district says the wording on the consent form was a complete mistake. I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was. Well, a Michigan father is considering legal recourse against a Minnesota gender clinic he says attempted to refer his autistic son for puberty blockers. The clinic claimed the 9-year-old was transgender. 49-year-old Benton Netz says he only discovered his son's medical records by accident because they were attached to his name, and he quickly realized that the child's mother had been taking him to a gender-affirming clinic without his consent. After a long legal battle, Netz attained a court order last year to prevent his son, now 11, from receiving further medical intervention at the clinic, which he claims was weeks away from issuing a referral for puberty-blocking drugs. Netz is frustrated that his son's primary diagnosis of autism has been placed on the back burner to focus instead on his supposed gender issues. But Netz says he's committed to fighting for his son. He said, quote, "All I know is sane people are not going to allow this to be done to their children." Amen to that. And it seems this country is not run by very many sane people these days. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Know your church fathers. Athenagoras was a Christian philosopher in Athens who used his training to defend the Christian faith against Roman persecution. He wrote On the Resurrection of the Dead, arguing that the nature of God, the nature of humanity, and the concept of justice only make sense if there is a physical resurrection. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio. We are having a Witness Wednesday. I'm at Georgia Tech. There's a guy who's walking. He's got a rather serious look. Dude, can I talk to you on the radio for a minute while you're walking?
Sure.
Don't let me interrupt you. Where are you headed?
Health class.
Health class. To learn what?
Oh, I know.
All righty then. That wasn't a health pun, was it? No. What does the syllabus say? What are you supposed to be learning?
We're watching a video on sleep.
On sleep? What does this class tell you that you're supposed to be learning besides sleep?
I don't know. I just take it.
How long have you been going to school here?
2 years.
And you don't know what you're doing?
I mean, I know what classes I'm taking.
Well, what are you learning?
A lot of math, probability, and statistics.
Do you think that the figures lie?
Yeah.
You do?
I believe in the lie of statistics.
Of statistics, but what about the lie of numbers? 2 plus 2 equals?
What do you want it to equal?
What it actually equals?
4.
All right. I believe that it equals 1,786. Am I wrong?
If you try to use it for anything, yes.
So I'm wrong?
Not in your own world.
What in my what?
Not in your own world, but if you try to apply it to anything, you're wrong.
So in other words, if I try to apply it to reality.
Yeah.
Okay, so if I'm nuts, it can equal 1786, but otherwise it actually equals 4.
Right.
And any other interpretation would be flat out wrong.
Not to yourself.
Wouldn't a person who deludes himself into thinking that 2 plus 2 equals 1786 be, what's the word I'm looking for, nuts?
Not necessarily.
All right, I have a funny feeling. You're a postmodern, aren't you?
I don't know what that means.
What it means is that you have a difficult time saying that somebody is wrong because you think that that would be intolerant.
No, I think you're wrong if you try to convince other people that you're right.
Well, that wouldn't make me wrong. You just think that that's not a good thing to do. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not? And what do you mean by make somebody believe it? Hold them down and physically force them or just natter at them? What is it?
Yeah, the second one.
Uh-huh. Okay. But that doesn't mean that they're wrong, though, correct?
I mean, either it is or it isn't.
There you go. I agree with you. Yeah. What do you believe about things like God in the afterlife?
I do believe.
In what?
I do believe in God.
Who do you think it is?
Not me.
Not you. Good start. Does your God have a name?
God.
Where does this God of yours dwell?
In heaven.
All right. Okay, here, let me see this guy in front of us who looks like he could take both of us without even breaking a sweat.
Looks like he plays for the Cardinals.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Okay. So this guy, I think he's God. And if I, 6 months before I die, wear a very similar sweatsuit and never take it off for 6 months and pull it up because he's sagging right there. And if I do that for 6 months before I die, I will spend eternity with that guy playing baseball with the, where do the Cardinals come from?
Oh, Arizona Cardinals.
The Arizona Cardinals. I'll be playing with the Arizona Cardinals for all of eternity. That's what I believe, all right? Here's the test question. Am I wrong? What?
You are nuts.
Right on, dude. Are you a Christian?
Yes.
Uh-huh. So your God is Jesus, right?
Yes.
So then you must believe that all the other gods are wrong.
I let them believe what they want.
That wasn't the question.
I don't tell them they're wrong.
Why not?
It's none of my business.
What happens to somebody in your belief? What happens if somebody doesn't believe in Jesus when they die?
Are we really going into this?
Hmm?
Are we really going to go into this?
Well, why not? This is what you believe, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So what do you think is going to happen to somebody who doesn't believe in your God when they die?
They wouldn't go to heaven.
Hmm. All right. See you, dude. All right. Goodbye. See, it really is his concern. And it's my concern, and it's your concern. And there's a dude walking by me. Hey, dude, while you're walking, could I talk to you on the radio?
Sure.
Cool. Hey, I just came up with a scenario with this guy. I want you to tell me what you think. All right?
All right.
I believe that before I die, if I will wear a black jumpsuit with an Arizona Cardinals logo on the back, and if I wear that for 6 months before I die, I'm going to spend eternity playing baseball with the Arizona Cardinals in a place called Boingo Boingo. That's what I believe.
All right.
Do you think I'm wrong?
No.
Huh?
Who's to say you're wrong?
You could.
You believe what you believe. I mean,
well, I know, but am I wrong?
I know what's going to happen.
But, dude, I just said I'm going to go play with the Arizona Cardinals in a place called Boingo Boingo if I wear a sweatsuit 6 months before I die.
Are you talking about after you die, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't know where Boingo Boingo is, but maybe they have their own Arizona Cardinals. And.
But you think I'm wrong?
Probably.
Definitely.
Right? All right.
That's okay. I'm not offended. I'm not going to beat you up. I don't think I could anyway. But it's okay to say that somebody's wrong, right?
All right. Yeah.
Now, the fact that you put up with me, though, that makes you tolerant. That's all. Right?
Okay.
What do you think happens to somebody when they die?
I really don't know. I mean, I'd like to think that there's a place like what heaven is described of that you can go to. But, I mean, who's to say it doesn't descend, or who's to say anybody knows?
Are you talking about the Christian heaven?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think that God exists?
I believe in God, yeah.
Who do you think God is?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Is he the God of the Bible?
It's also a good one. I don't know. I think that whole Bible thing, that's a whole other story.
Did you grow up in a Christian home?
I did.
What did they tell you in church happens to you when you die?
You die, you go to heaven, you're in God's kingdom, and...
Does everybody go?
Nah, well, it's... I guess if you're... quote-unquote saved.
How do you get saved?
You believe in Jesus, pray to Jesus, I guess.
All right. And why do you need to get saved?
To go to this place called heaven.
What happens if I don't get saved?
And you go to a place called hell.
Why do I go there?
Because you weren't saved.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
You're telling me. You're telling me.
Okay. How's about this? All right. God sends people to hell because they've done something bad, they've done something wrong, and they deserve punishment.
Okay.
Fair enough. Fair enough. They go to heaven because they've been forgiven by God.
But where's the line? Where's the line between what's bad enough to go to hell?
That's a good question. Before even trying to answer that, the question would be, who gets to decide where the line is? The criminals or the judge?
Is the judge God?
Yeah.
Who gets to decide where the line is? Well, I guess that would be God.
Yeah, so God gets...
He's the deciding factor.
That's exactly right. Okay, so the Bible says that God's standard, his judgment, is perfection. So there's the line for you right there. Morally pure, completely perfect. Never violating the Ten Commandments.
So you're telling me that everybody's going to hell?
Well, if they've broken the commandments...
Well, nobody's perfectly morally pure. I don't think I've ever met someone like that.
Dude... I don't even think we're close, to be honest.
Exactly, right? Exactly.
For instance, how many lies have you told in your life?
Today, I've probably told a couple.
No, already?
Yeah.
Okay, so with that, how many women have you looked at with lust today? Impure thoughts.
Luckily, I've been studying all morning, so we'll go with one.
Just one?
Yeah.
Already? How many things have you stolen in your lifetime?
Several times.
All right. Okay, have you ever taken God's name in vain?
Several times.
All right, that's blasphemy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so by your own admission, you're the criminal. God's the judge, not me.
Mm-hmm.
You're a liar, a thief, a blasphemer, and an adulterer.
Mm-hmm.
All right, broken the laws lots of times. God's going to slam down the gavel. Is he going to say innocent or guilty?
Hopefully innocent, but, I mean, I'm clearly guilty.
Clearly, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so guilty you are before the just judge of all the world. What should he do with you? Send you to heaven or to hell?
I guess by those cut and dry rules, it would be hell. But
it would be hell.
For forgiveness, then hopefully.
Well, this is the important part, all right? Because this is the whole legal transaction now that needs to take place. Here's the situation: you're the criminal. You're on death row. You've broken the laws. You've got a fine to pay that you can't pay. The just judge should give you what you deserve, and that is hell.
Mm-hmm.
You're a goner. You can't do anything. It's too late unless somebody steps into the courtroom and says, "Judge, I'll pay his fine. I love that man so much."
And that man is Jesus.
There you go.
There we go.
Righto. So now forgiveness is available because of what Jesus did on the cross for you, but transaction isn't done. Forgiveness is available. The question is, how do you get forgiven by God? It's called repenting.
Repenting.
When you realize, you know what? I have not been living for God. I've been living for myself and breaking his laws, and I'm wrong, and I deserve to be punished. But I'm sorry, you apologize, and you turn from your sins. It doesn't mean you suddenly become perfect, but you have a new attitude about your life and how you're living. And you put your trust in Jesus Christ. The Bible says when you repent and trust the Savior, that's when the legal transaction takes place. And God says, all of your badness put on Jesus, his goodness, credited to your account. So God sees you not as just not guilty, but as righteous because of what he did for you. So, dude, got something to ponder today, perhaps.
That's true.
All right, man. Well, I'm glad we bumped into each other.
Yeah.
Thanks for
Definitely.
The chat. All right?
Definitely.
All right?
Thank you.
See you, man. Okay, before you go, what do you need to do to be saved? What are the two words I used?
Repentance.
And? Faith.
Faith.
In Jesus.
All
right, man. See you. There you go. See you. Bye. Well, that made my day. It's Witness Wednesday. We're at Georgia Tech.
Leonard Ravenhill once said, no man is greater than his prayer life. Without developing a deep, intimate, and meaningful prayer life, a Christian will find it much easier to fall to temptation. But our lives are also full of distractions, and we have to be intentional about putting the cell phones away and turning the TV off while we talk to our Father in heaven. I'd also like to offer another suggestion you might find extremely helpful. That's the resource, Face to Face, Praying the Scriptures, by Dr. Kenneth Boa. Dr. Boa helps you learn to approach your prayer life in a whole new way by guiding you through over 90 scripture-based prayers of adoration, confession, renewal, petition, intercession, affirmation, and thanksgiving. Grab a copy of Face to Face by Dr. Kenneth Boa today and watch your prayer life become more focused, more intense, and more biblical. Pick your copy up right now by visiting wretched.org/pray. That's wretched.org/pray.
Numbers. Who doesn't love numbers? Okay, I don't, and maybe you don't either, but you are going to be thrilled at these statistics from preborn.org. Since 2007, there have been over 500,000 pregnancy tests. Whoa. 42,000 women have professed faith in Jesus Christ, and over 123,000 babies' lives were saved. You can have a direct impact on the battle for life in a country that is increasingly opposed to life. While the government is busy trying to take the lives of more children, you and I can be saving babies and saving mommies because Preborn, they provide free ultrasounds, and they also preach the gospel. Babies get saved, and so do mommies. Would you please help grow these numbers by supporting Preborn? You can do that at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
What are some of the best combinations you can think of? Rice and beans? Bacon and eggs? How about spaghetti and meatballs? While those are certainly all delicious choices, there's one even better. You and Wretched. Yep, when you become a Wretched Gospel partner, you and Wretched become one of the best combinations in the world. Combining our efforts allows us to reach more people all over the world with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's like peanut butter and jelly. Separately, they're pretty good, but combined together, they become great. That's what happens when you become a gospel partner with Wretched. Together, we can reach millions. And for you, there's full transparency and accountability because we're ECFA approved. Get all the details on becoming a Wretched Gospel partner today by visiting wretched.org/donate or text the word wretched to the number 44321. You and Wretched, even better than salt and pepper.
Revelation. How can anyone know God unless he reveals himself? If God did not speak, religion would be nothing more than man's best guess. But God has revealed himself in creation, in the Bible, and in the person of Jesus Christ. We can know God, and we can be brought into right standing with him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Dude, what does your t-shirt mean?
About soccer, yeah.
Well, I figured that much.
Yeah.
What's the message there? Tell me.
I mean,
life is about soccer.
Not necessarily. It's just a good sport. I mean, that's
no,
the
that's
message
it,
on
that's
the
what
t-shirt.
It means.
That is.
Well, this is you're like it's like a tombstone in a way. It says
yeah.
Birth in black, and then that's your dash soccer.
Yeah.
And then death. So yeah. Life is about soccer.
That's what it says.
Yeah. All right. I want to ask you a philosophical question.
Okay.
All right, by the way, what's your first name?
James.
All right, James. Will you talk to me on the radio for a few moments while you're walking along?
All right.
All right. James, you know when you get buried, they put a little gravestone for you, and it's got your name. Maybe it says something really nice about you. And then it's got the year you were born, which was...
1989.
Dash, and then whatever year you died, right?
Yeah.
All right? So the dash is kind of the whole story on the tombstone.
Yeah,
isn't
but it's the smallest part.
It is the smallest part, but it's really the biggest thing, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
So what do you think that dash is all about? What is life all about? What is the reason you exist, James?
The reason I exist, I'm a Christian, so like I believe the reason I exist is to serve our Creator.
Who's that?
God.
Who's he? Who is? Describe your God to me.
Describe my God. My God is a loving, forgiving, merciful God.
Like, really?
Yeah.
And why does he need to be merciful?
Why? Because, you know, we all are sinners.
You calling me a sinner?
I mean, we're all in the same boat here with that.
I'm not in your boat, Pally.
Okay.
You might be a sinner. I'm not a sinner.
Okay. But, yeah, I just...
So I'm not a sinner because I said so?
I mean...
Convince me I'm a sinner.
Convince you you're a sinner.
Yeah.
Have you ever done something bad?
No.
Like lied?
Oh, well, you know, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah?
That's considered a sin.
Yeah, so I'm in the sin boat because I've told a lie? Do you follow politics?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah, doesn't seem to be a big deal these days, does it?
Doesn't really interest me that much.
Yeah. Because it depends on what the definition of is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so big deal. I've told lies. You're telling me I'm going to hell? Is that what you're getting at,
Christian? That's not what I'm getting at.
Oh, okay. What are you getting at?
I'm getting at that there's this guy named Jesus.
Uh-huh.
And he's the reason that we can be forgiven for our sins.
I just told you all I've done is told some lies. I don't think I need to be forgiven. And you made it clear I'm not going to hell, so who cares?
I mean, I'm just saying, like, we need this Jesus guy to, so that we can go to heaven and be with God.
Okay. Who is this Jesus guy?
Who's he? He's this guy that lived, like, 2,000 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And he died on a cross.
Yeah?
For us.
For whom?
Everyone.
I don't get it. So everybody's going to go to heaven because Jesus died on the cross. Is that what you're telling me?
If you believe in this guy.
Why do I have to believe in him? Dude, you're so warm. Come on. You're so warm. Come on, say it.
Why do you have to
believe?
Dude,
I'm not going to take a poke at you. Just say it. Come on. You want to say it? Now say it. Why do I need to have my sins forgiven by Jesus?
Because that's the only way we can be with God is to, like, be forgiven. And, like, it's in the Bible.
If I don't, what happens to me?
If you don't have your sins forgiven?
No.
Well, the Bible says that if you don't, like, believe in Jesus,
mm-hmm.
then...
Come on. Come on. It's not a swear word in the right context. Come on. What happens?
The only way to the Father is through Jesus. So, like,
and what
if you
happens
don't,
if I don't?
Then you...
Come on.
You're to hell.
Attaboy. Right. Because I'm a sinner, right?
Yes.
Why does that make you so uncomfortable?
I mean, because we're talking into a microphone.
Oh, okay. All right. Fair enough. Besides, I've got the build of Barack Obama, and you think that I could take you down, don't you?
I mean... Yeah, you're bigger.
All right. I'm built like Gumby without the rubber part. Dude, that is the issue, though, right? Because people break the laws. You're on the right track with telling lies, stealing, right?
Yeah.
Right? Lusting. Jesus said is adultery
of
the heart.
Yeah.
Right? Or if you've ever committed any other sexual sin, right? Or if you blasphemed God's name, you didn't honor your parents, we'd all be guilty lawbreakers. And if God gave us what we deserve, we'd go to...
Hell.
That's right. But Jesus did what so we don't have to?
He died for us. He took our sin.
All right, now here's the biggie. This is the big one, all right?
Okay.
So if Jesus died for sinners, how does a sinner get forgiven by Jesus? What must I do to be saved?
To be saved, you have
be
to...
Be really accurate. This is like this is like confirmation. This is your baptism question, whatever you are. What are you, by the way?
Well, I grew up Methodist, but I'm like a Christian church, non-denominational now.
All right. Evangelical? Okay.
It's called a Christian church.
All right. Okay. All right. So what would John Wesley say that I must do to be saved?
To be saved, you have to, repent.
Attaboy. What does that mean?
You have to, like, feel that your sin was wrong and like that you don't want to do it anymore. And
right.
Ask
turn from your sin.
For it, yeah.
Yeah, boy, that's very good. And what else? There's another thing. Repent and...
Be baptized?
Well, repent I understand where you're going with that, but no.
Okay.
Not to be saved.
Yeah, repent and...
It has to do with Jesus. Sounds a lot like faith. Because it's faith. You have to have faith and you have to trust the Savior. Repent and trust the Savior, right?
Yeah.
Repent and believe the gospel is what Jesus said, right?
Yes.
Have you done that?
I have.
So you've turned from your sins, apologized to God as a lowly, wretched sinner, and you've put your trust in Jesus Christ. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
When did you do that?
Well, it's a process. I'm not sure the exact time. I was baptized earlier this year, actually.
Is that right?
In January.
Why?
Why? Because I felt like I wanted to make that step to following Christ. And
okay. Do you know what baptism symbolizes?
Your death to sin and your resurrection in Christ.
So when did you die to your sin? You ever been in a car accident?
I have.
When did that happen?
8th grade.
Why don't you know when you died to yourself and were rescued by God? When you remember a car accident where you almost lost your life, big event,
but not
as big as humbling yourself before God and being saved. When did that happen?
In January, when I was baptized, like, it was before then, like, in the fall, I guess.
Okay. So you must have heard something that convinced you you're a sinner.
I did.
Yeah. And you understood that Jesus was your Savior. You humbled yourself, did you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. What's your attitude towards sin?
What's my attitude towards sin?
Yeah.
It's not a good thing, but...
Do you think, if I could look into the private life of James, right? Would I see a guy who's behaving in a holy way or in a sinful way? I've got access to everything you do.
Yeah, wow. I think you'd see both.
Okay, here's one for you. I put a computer chip on the back of your ear.
Okay.
I record every thought that goes through your brain for a week. Take the little computer chip, pop it into the computer, put it up on the big screen, call all your pals together, and we all get to look at what's going on in James's brain.
Yeah.
What would they see, a holy guy or a bad guy?
Be a little bit of both in there, yeah.
Do you think you're growing in holiness?
I'm doing my best to.
Do you read your Bible every day?
About every other day.
Okay. Is Jesus precious to you?
He is very.
Why?
Because he paid it all for me, like, I mean, he's God, but he, like, loved me enough to... Like, sacrifice himself.
He's a good God.
Yes.
Do you think he sacrificed himself for you because you're such a good guy?
No.
Why did he do it?
Because there's just he just has this unfathomable, like, love for me.
Yeah, because he's good.
He is.
Right? All right, dude. Read your Bible every day.
All right.
Do what it says. Goodbye, young man. See ya. It's interesting. I was just listening to a CD by a fellow named Dr. John Street. He's a professor at Master's SEM, I think. It's either SEM or the college. And he was talking about the concept of self-love that is so... It's very popular these days, obviously, in the world and even in evangelicalism. We already love ourselves plenty already. And we should love others the way that we love ourselves. And we demonstrate that even though people who say that they hate themselves, they don't. They love themselves plenty and they demonstrate it in a lot of ways. Because instead of looking at their circumstances and lamenting, if they hated themselves, they would look at their crummy circumstances and say, this is exactly what I deserve. I deserve a crummy husband, a bad marriage, rotten children, a lousy house. It's exactly what I deserve. It is well with my soul. But they don't hate themselves because we are lovers of ourselves. And what we need to understand, and this is where our little conversation with James comes in, that God doesn't look down and see us as just so irresistibly lovable. Instead, he looks down and he sees very wretched sinners. But instead of treating us the way we deserve, he treats us with nothing but kindness, both physically with all the things that he provides for us, and mostly by sending his son Jesus to die for us. And our response to it shouldn't be, wow, I sure am lovable. Instead, our response should be, he sure is loving. What an amazing God. And that way, he ends up being the all in all. That he doesn't love the lovable, he loves the unlovable. He loves us. He loves you, sinner, no matter what you've done. This is greater, and that way he gets all the credit. Oh, the gospel is so good, because he is the everything. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.